This is News Talk.
We'll begin with the Irish Times and a pretty stark story on the front page about the tourism sector. It's facing a rapid acceleration in insolvencies after Christmas as the impact of the pandemic continues to place severe pressure on businesses. This is all in advance of an appearance that the tourism sector will make before the Oireachtas Tourism Committee later today. Failing to support firms in the sector would abandon balanced regional development and self-sustaining rural communities. That's the warning Paul Kelly of Fulton Ireland will tell TDs and senators. And he says while the industry is grateful for the current supports that they're getting, they're not sufficient. And on tourism, the severity and longevity of public health restrictions mean that for many businesses, the current level of support isn't going to be enough. It's interesting as well, you know, Fulton Ireland, Tourism Ireland saying really next year, the domestic market is the one we're going to have to look at. And businesses need to get ready to be enticing Irish people, people living here, to go on holidays here next summer. So it doesn't bode well. We'll have more on this shortly when we'll speak to the chair of the Oireachtas Tourism Committee, Niamh Smith, here on Breakfast Briefing. The other story on the front of the Irish Times is about Brian Stanley and his tweet and that controversy from the weekend not going away. Now the Ceann Comhairle is rowing in. He's written to Northern Ireland's First Minister, Arlene Foster, saying a controversial tweet from Brian Stanley would require a credible political response. And in the letter which he sent last night, he said he was personally appalled and profoundly dismayed by the now deleted tweet from Brian Stanley. And it's quite interesting, you know, because obviously the office of Ceann Comhairle, it tends to be independent, it stays away from politics, but clearly Sean O'Friel felt personally that he should comment on this when he was when he received that correspondence from Arlene Foster. She said that she'd be writing to Sean O'Friel about the tweet, and she said it was outrageous that someone with such warped views could hold a senior position in the Dáil. Now that position is chair of the Public Accounts Committee, and all eyes are going to be on the PAC this afternoon, or this morning actually I think it is, because Brian Stanley is going to address the tweet. We assume apologise to the other members, but we don't know what he's going to do, and there are growing calls for him to step down as chair of the PAC. So watch this space. Move on to the Irish Daily Mail. No pubs until we have a vaccine, and it's pretty stark news again for the wet pub sector, that they are unlikely to reopen in Ireland until a vaccine is rolled out, sparking fury among publicans. A senior government source has warned it will not be safe to reopen them until COVID-19 jabs are deployed nationwide. And that's interesting because I remember we asked Ronan Glynn, the Deputy Chief Medical Officer, about nightclubs. When are nightclubs going to reopen? This was a few months ago. And he really said nightclubs would reopen when we have, you know, vaccines in place. It was never the case for wet pubs. That was never said. And if you read the front of the Daily Mail, it's pretty grim reading for them. A lot about that in the Daily Mail. A lot about Michaela McAreevy in the papers too this morning, the front of the Irish Independent. That's their main photograph, and that's because after almost a full decade after her death, Mauritian police have officially closed the latest probe into the murder of Michaela McAreevy. They're no closer to bringing her killers to justice. A new inquiry into the killing has found no fresh evidence to warrant a new trial or retrial. So that's obviously very, very difficult news for those who knew Michaela best and those who are very close to her, and it is very difficult news for them to get that news. Now, we will do the also other story on the front of the Irish Independent, the state to underwrite virus vaccine firms to reassure patients. That was a story on the news this morning, that the government is agreeing to indemnify five drug companies producing COVID-19 vaccines against any liabilities that arise from any complications with their rollout in the coming months. It's a pretty standard procedure, but what we don't know is how much that is going to cost us, which will be interesting to find out. Now, we go on staying with the world of vaccines to the Daily Telegraph this morning, and this would give you hope, in fairness. This is the news that the armed forces and the NHS in Britain have begun urgent preparations for the distribution of a COVID-19 vaccine. By this weekend, military personnel have been ordered to transform 10 sites in the UK into vaccine hubs. And the paper says that Britain is on course to be the first Western country to authorise the use of the vaccine, and the rest of Europe expected to make a decision shortly after Christmas. So we could see vaccines rolled out in the UK by this weekend. And the Telegraph also says that a major hospital trust in London expects the first vaccines to take place as early as Monday. NHS bosses have appealed for volunteers to administer the COVID-19 jab from 7 o'clock Monday morning. That's all we can do, is just hope and hope and hope and hope and hope. And that's a good story from The Telegraph. The Irish Examiner, Tusla workers abused on social media. This is a frightening story, by the way. People who work in Tusla being exposed to the most shocking forms of abuse online. Death threats, having their children's photos posted online with offensive comments about their children. And one worker's entire holiday plans were leaked with suggestions of protest against them. These are just some examples of online abuse that have been directed at Tusla staff. You can read all about it in The Examiner. It's part of a Freedom of Information request. Very, very frightening. I'm sure they'll be investigating that and what they can do to protect Tusla staff, because that ain't fair if you're trying to do your job and then you get that sort of backlash on social media. The Irish Daily Mirror, I love this story, the Irish Daily Mirror has tracked down the trophy involved in Golfgate. It's an exclusive. Fergal Blaney has the story. Ireland's most infamous trophy can finally be seen for the first time today. Not in great nick either. It's the Golfgate Oireachtas President's Prize Cup, and it's been found in a dusty room close to the Dáil, and the pictures show it's unloved. It's far from the trophy cabinet of any golfer who attended the dinner in Clifton in County Galway, as the Irish Daily Mirror says. You can look at those pictures there. Also interesting story in the Irish Times that Gardaí are going to introduce an internship programme to encourage people to experience life in the force before committing to a career. Quite a good idea. Get a taster if you'd like to be a Garda or not. And particularly it's for enticing minorities to obviously, you know, get more and more people from different backgrounds into the Garda force. Normal People is proving an inspiration for new parents. This is in The Sun. Connell is one of 2020's fastest growing names. Obviously he's the character played by Paul Mescal, and his name has been included in a parenting website's baby name survey for the first time. Not so for Marianne. Not many looking for the name Marianne, but certainly a lot of people considering looking at the name Connell. Also, Vogue is in the top names, presumably because of the model and TV presenter Vogue Williams as well. Finally, do we dare to dream of a white Christmas? Well, if you read the Irish Daily Mirror this morning, you could hope, because a snow alert for the coming days has raised hopes of a white Christmas to end what the paper says has been a year from hell. And you'll probably say, tell me about it. Met Éireann has issued a 55-hour weather advisory for severe frost and wintry showers to end this week. And essentially what they're saying is a big difference between the weather today and tomorrow. It's going to get a lot colder. Some talk of snow on higher ground, and we wait and see if that develops into a white Christmas.
On 106 to 108 FM and at newstalk.com. This is Newstalk.